Merry Christmas. The Utah Jazz blow out the Portland Trail Blazers using the exact same script they used 5 days before. We'll talk about what they did to limit McCollum and Lillard, why the offense rolled so beautifully, and while we're all smiles late on a Christmas night. It's all coming up on Postcast. Tonight's show is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South, 20th East. Special shout out to Jan. And
I got to meet Jan tonight.
You did get
yes,
to meet
I
Jan.
Did.
And you gave Jan a Christmas card and everything. Yeah. The Store is 6200 South, 20th East. Great community grocery store with a wonderful feel. Good people there. Merry Christmas to you all. The Jazz were brilliant tonight. This is a five-game stretch of brilliance against five really, really good teams. Seven-game defensive sequence that is as dominant as it was at any point all of last season. This team feels, as Thurl Bailey said multiple times on our broadcast, very connected right now, Ron.
Yeah, very connected. And just to bring up a point here, but the last two coaches, well, Billy Donovan from Oklahoma City and Terry Stotts, both have said the Jazz are better than their record. You know, they got a lot of respect for what the Jazz are doing. And right now it's starting to show, I think. And it's probably starting to show at the right time, considering the fact that they've struggled with, you know, with this stretch of road games that they've had and the travel. And now things are starting to pick up. Quinn has to be pretty happy right now.
So C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard average 52 points a game together. Okay, average. That means half the time they're above 52 points, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the other night they scored 31. Tonight they scored 31 again. What were the Jazz doing? Because it is now not a coincidence. It is now not that they had a bad night. What is it that they were doing that got the Jazz or got those two guys so far out of their game?
Well, aside from McCollum really struggling shooting the ball, I mean, they really took away they just didn't get on a run to the point where they can become so dominant and take over a ball game. Jazz took the ball out of their hands by corralling them, containing them, forcing them to give the ball up. And I got to give a shout-out to Jay Crowder. I thought Jay Crowder did a great job of whenever the defense gave up Lillard or McCollum got a chance to drive to the basket. Jay Crowder was over there defending and gave Rudy a chance to recover so he could block a shot or something like that. But that's all happens with team defense and having a very good game plan and everyone following the game plan.
So Gobert's come up a bit defensively. He's playing much more aggressively on some of these pick and rolls. It's what's allowing Lillard to not be able to get in the mid-range and pull up and get that rhythm that he got earlier in the year. So the key to that whole thing, though, I think, is what you're talking about, is that you're leaving Gobert no longer at the rim. Someone's got to be on that backside, and that's Jay.
Well, it got to be on the backside, but he got to get to the point where you cut them off before they even get close to the rim, and I think that's what Jay Crowder was doing. I mean, he came over and was all the way across the lane on a few times and kept McCollum and Lillard from going all the way to the basket. Lillard slipped through a couple of times, missed a couple of layups because Rudy was able to get back. But for the most part, they just didn't score at the rim. And I thought that was very, very effective. Those guys, they depend on them to have big nights in order to win. And I thought the Jazz took that away from them tonight. 31 points, that's not too shabby from those two guys.
All right, so I feel like we're back to a point where we were last year, which is you're analyzing this team and trying to figure out if they're any good, and you look at a team that has Damian Lillard and you think, oh my gosh, and you see a team like Anthony Davis and you say, oh my gosh, and Russell Westbrook and Paul George, and I think we've got to go back to that Rudy Gobert is one of the best players in the NBA.
Well, without a doubt, you know, and you start with him defensively. And I'm a believer in him. I love his game. He wasn't really my favorite when he first got here because I thought he needed to work on his offensive game. He needed to have a signature shot. I didn't think that he could dominate a game without having that. But he's proven me wrong. I mean, he does things that you just don't expect to see. You know, guys that really can't play with their back to the basket.
Offensively, the Jazz score 117 points. They hit 13 of 29 from three, which is impressive when you start 0 for 8. So they hit 13 of their final 21 from three. What allowed them against a team that does not defend the three well, but that denies a lot of threes? What did they do offensively?
They made shots. They continued to execute their offense. The dribble penetration, Rubio obviously is the key to making things like that happen. The dribble hands off, and they made shots. Now, they've gone through stretches where they could not make shots, but that has not stopped them from doing what they do best in order to get those shots. And hopefully this will continue the rest of the year.
I said when the game started tonight, I thought the Jazz had a big advantage having played Portland and their unique defensive style so recently. Nurkic drops deeper and further back than just about any big in the NBA, and I thought that we saw them look very comfortable tonight.
Well, you're talking about the Jazz getting to, well, I think it was only a couple of times, a few times, and it was mostly Donovan Mitchell that got in there and with nowhere to go and having to throw up a shot that was a very low percentage shot. But Dante Exum was able to get all the way to the basket, but the little floater, and then Rudy just frustrating Nurkic to the point where he just didn't have any energy tonight, and that was the bottom line.
Joe Ingles was great. He had 15 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Ricky Rubio was great in a key stretch of the game to open up the third quarter, and Dante Exum played another really, really good game. And if I was a Jazz fan, that would be the area where I was probably most excited. The biggest change to me is, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, Howell Neto had to play because you weren't convinced Dante could hold it together. He is now playing in a manner that, if he can keep this up for the season, changes what that second unit is.
Well, we've always liked this defense. He has great feet. He moves very well. He does a great job of staying in front of guys. He's long enough to the point where whoever he's guarding, especially at that guard position, he can challenge the shot. It was his offense that he was struggling with, and that's starting to get better. They've changed shooting coaches or coaches that, you know, and because they wanted him to work on different things. And this other coach was pretty good at, you know,
biomechanical stuff.
Exactly. And you know, it's starting to show up. But it takes work. It takes hard work. It takes dedication. It takes wanting to get better. And anytime you have an athlete as good as Dante, as we thought he was going to be, if you want to get better, you got to put the work in. And it seemed like, you know, it's starting to show right now.
Played very, very well tonight, and Kyle Korver, I think, has changed his life as well. The space on the floor that Kyle Korver gives has given Dante bigger driving lanes and allowing him to show his excellence offensively. Jazz win their third in 5 games against the 4 best teams of last year's Western Conference standings, and they look just great defensively. We'll see what happens. Philadelphia on the 27th, the Knicks on the 29th. This is called a homestand, and it's beautiful. And we will talk to you soon.